I'm going to switch gears a little bit here and talk about changes in structure and composition during cotton fiber development. And I would like first to acknowledge the financial support of International Cotton Research Center, USDA, and Texas Department of Agriculture, Food and Fiber Research Program. Our objective in this work is to investigate the structural changes and gain novel insight into cell wall structure and composition in developing cotton fibers using Fourier transform infrared and thermogravimetric analysis. We selected two cotton cultivars, Texas 19 and Texas 55, and they were planted in a greenhouse in triplicate. And on the day of flowering, 0 DPA, individual flowers were tagged and balls were harvested at different DPAs, 10, 14, 17, 20, 36, 50, and at 61 DPA. And they were stored in liquid nitrogen and samples were dehydrated. And we used this method to dehydrate samples, which consists of washing the samples with acidified 2,2-dimethoxypropane, followed by 5 exchanges for 5 minutes in each, 5 minutes each in 100% acetone. And the objective of using that is the water in the fiber reacts with DMP in slightly acidic solution to form methanol and acetone. And then we did the FTAR analysis, TGA, ATM, and fiber cross-sections. We used, for infrared analysis, we used Spectrum 1 equipped with universal attenuated total air fractions. 30 spectra were collected for each sample, 30 spectra with 3 replications, and 4 wave numbers as spectrum resolution with 2 co-added scans over the range 650 to 4,000 wave numbers. And of course, the spectra were baseline corrected, normalized, and subjected to principal component analysis. Here I'm showing just 2 examples, the spectra of fibers at 20 dpa and spectra of fibers at 36 dpa. And we can see first here the decrease of the intensity of the band, which is attributed to hydrogen bonding, intramolecular hydrogen bonding, and the decrease of the intensity of the band attributed to CH2 stretch, which are the coming from the walks. And the decrease in intensity or disappearance of the band 1737, which is the CO stretch coming from the xyloglucase. The decrease in intensity of the band that attributed to adsorbed water. The disappearance of this band at 1537, which is attributed to NH2 deformation coming from protein or and amino acids. We have the band at 1439 CH2 coming from also from the walks, and 1429 this coming from CH2 deformation and belongs to glucose units, and this band can also be used to calculate the crystallinity of the fiber along with these bands here, and we have this band that shows at very pronounced at 36 dpa at 1204, and of course we have the band at 900, which is the beta linkage, which is glucose oxygen glucose, giving indication on the polymerization process. Of course we did thousands of spectra, and this makes their analysis very complicated, so we did some principal component analysis, and here each spectra is represent 90 average of 90 spectra, and we can see we have 2 groups of this, of spectra. The spectra of fibers between 10 and 20 dpa, and spectra of fibers between 36 and 61 dpa, and we have some structural changes that is occurring here. We have some transition between 20 dpa and 36 dpa. So the result shows the result show that we have some band that are assigned to non-cellulosic compound, they disappear at 36 dpa, and the results are consistent with the onset of secondary cell wall synthesis around 21 dpa. So the advantage of using infrared is that we have no extraction. We have just to use the sample as it is when we collect the sample. No preparation is needed, is of analysis, and of course, it's not destructive testing, which allows to use the sample for other analysis. So we went ahead and did some thermogravimetric analysis. We used Pyros 1-TGA. We collected the thermograms between 37 and 600 degrees centigrade with a heating rate of 10 degrees C per minute in flow of nitrogen. And we calculated the weight loss between 37 and 150 degrees centigrade and between 150 and 425. And we did the first derivative of thermograms to determine the inflection points, which are just the transition in the decomposition. Here we have the weight loss as function of the temperature. We can see that we have two groups, fibers from 10 to 20 dpa, and fibers from 36 to 50 dpa. So we calculated the weight loss here in this region and the weight loss in this region. So we the weight loss as function of day postosynthesis between 37 and 150. This weight loss is attributed specifically to adsorbed water. We can see that we have transition when the fibers reach 20 dpa. We have around here 10% weight loss, and when the fiber reach 36 dpa, we have 6% weight loss. And in the literature, this transition is accompanied by change in the cellulose content. Here we have primary cell wall with less than 30% cellulose, and when we reach 36, we start having secondary cell wall, and in this region here, we have around 99% cellulose. So the decrease of the amount of adsorbed water from 10% to 5.5% when the fiber reaches 36 dpa could be attributed to a decrease in the specific surface area per unit mass and to an increase in the structural organization of the cellulose macromolecules in the secondary cell wall, increased crystallinity. So when we look at the weight loss between 150 and 425, this weight loss is due to decomposition of non-cellulosic materials and cellulosic materials. Again, here we can see we have transition when the fibers reach 20 dpa, we have an increase of the percent weight loss. And this is due to an increase of the cellulose deposition around 20 dpa. In addition to the decomposition of non-cellulosic compound, we have pyrolysis reactions of cellulose macromolecules also takes place because we switch from less than 30% cellulose to more than 99% cellulose. So when we do first derivative of these thermograms, we can see that we have different peaks of decomposition when the fibers are younger than 20 dpa. And this peak here at 338 is attributed to the decomposition of cellulose. And we can see that we go from 338 at 10 dpa to 375 at 50 dpa, which is considered to be, you know, cotton is mature at this stage. So we plotted this temperature decomposition of the cellulose as function of the day postosynthesis. And again, here we can see a transition when the fibers reach 20 dpa. We go roughly from 340 to more than 370 degrees centigrade. And when we look at the literature, we can see this transition is accompanied by an increase in the degree of polymerization that goes from less than 3,000 to 14,000, and also an increase in the percent of crystallinity of the cellulose which increases from less than 30% to more than 60%. So we did some scanning electron microscopy and some cross sections. We can see at 10 dpa and 17 dpa, the fibers are extremely thin and the fibers are stuck together, which is here we have just the starting of the formation of the primary cell wall. At 20 dpa, we start having some individual fibers, but they are composed essentially of primary cell wall. But at 36 dpa, we can see the appearance of twist, which indicates the presence of a slightly thicker secondary cell wall. We did cross sections, and we can see that at 20 dpa, mostly a thin primary cell wall, and we were unable to measure the thickness at this age. At 36 dpa, secondary cell wall thickening is clearly visible, demonstrating that the cell wall, the secondary cell wall synthesis is well underway at this stage. At 61 dpa, of course, we can see that the cotton is reaching full maturity. So when we calculate the wall thickness using image analysis, as I was saying, we were unable to calculate the wall thickness for fibers younger than 36 dpa. We can see an increase of the wall thickness with increasing the postanthesis. And when we calculate the contribution of the primary cell wall as function or wall thickness using this data here, we can see a decrease of the contribution of the primary cell wall with the wall thickness. And to conclude, the results showed that changes in the structure and composition occur during cotton fiber development. Infrared shows that we have some vibration that disappear at 36 dpa. And the onset of secondary cell wall is around 20 dpa, and TGA results supported FTA analysis. We are repeating this experiment because this was the first experiment, so we did not really know where to look between 20 and 36. So we collected the spectra, the samples from 20 to 36 dpa, each 1 dpa, to be sure exactly when that onset of secondary cell wall formation is occurring. Is it between 20 and 21, or is it between 23 and 26, and so on? So the experiments are underway, and the results will be reported next beltwide. Thank you.
When they go away, but not 100%, because if you have still some primary cell wall. So, but the contribution of the primary cell wall with during the fiber development is decreasing. So you don't see them. But some of them, if you take the xyloglycanes, which is the carbonyl groups. The cell is using those compounds to make the secondary cell wall. So some of them disappear, but some of them, they are still on the primary cell wall, but as the contribution is decreasing, so you don't see them in the spectrum.
Yeah, yes, that is one of our objectives because, APIS and HVI, they are not for breeders, and for biotech, they are not really the right equipment to test for this. But that's where we are heading with this research. No, not really. No. Because the water is, when you reach 20 dpa, the water does not change. You have that fixed amount of water.
So it doesn't really bother you as long as you dehydrate them. And you will have just, if you dehydrate the sample and you condition the sample, you will have between 6 and 8% of water. And that will not change, you know, because the water you have, it's not adsorbed water, it's stricter water. It's bonded in the structure, and that's what we are interested in.